This is such a big thing, right?
Hello and welcome to In The Game, Qatar's first sports podcast. Our podcast is all about the story, our guest story.
The highs,
the lows, the laughter, the tears. We learn what it's like to walk in their shoes and get an insight into what it takes to overcome the challenges and create the ultimate success story. Welcome to In The Game, Qatar's first sports podcast. We are today at QSTP, one of the best places in Qatar. And today we have a special guest, as always, Adel. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's wonderful to have you here at QSTP with us. It's very humbling to be one of the first to speak on your sportscast.
Yeah.
My name is Adel Saad. I'm the CEO and founder of Skora. Skora is a digital agent meant to serve and help aspiring young men and women find a pathway to professionalism, or the best possible pathway to play professional football.
You know, I've been chasing you for quite some time, right? Because I know you're making a difference. The one thing that I would say is I've been listening to your progress and with Hiba, your wife, and I've been listening to your story with so many different people. Mariam has told me all about you, and you're doing a magnificent job because you are trying to make a difference in sports, right? And that's the great thing, and that's why we're here today, is that I want you to tell us what difference that you're making.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve. That's exactly why Skora was founded, was to help the largely ignored community of aspiring football players. There's this thing called the beautiful game. And the beautiful game is that if you play hard enough, work out hard enough, strive hard enough on the field, off the field, you will reach your dream in football and be able to play one day. Well, what happens is in the youth, we have a beautiful systems, right, to raise children to play all the time. And then they get to this age of 15 to 18 where it drops off. And then there's like, how do I continue to play football? And so typically what players end up doing is they want to play professional. So they look for an agent, and agents cannot make money off players who are just aspiring. They can make money off the players that have already have an income. And so then there's a lot of players and aspiring players that get ignored, misguided. It just drops off of this information. And we want to, not tell them that they're all gonna go and play pro, but tell them the realities of what it takes to go professional and give them some of that information that they can't.
So that's something really important, so that you're also going to guide them. You're also, so that they're not on their own. And what I like about what you've just said there is people progress in different stages. Some people might not progress until they're 17, 18, right?
Absolutely.
So you're going to be able to give those opportunities and keep the fire burning.
Yes, absolutely. And we do some of the basic things that, when you want to have a profession in something that you need, right? So we have this showcase that we do. And whenever we ask them, do you have a CV, right? A CV to play professional soccer, a CV of what you've done? 90% of them don't even have a plain, simple CV. They're unaware that they need a CV. And so this is one of the things that Skora provides. We provide the basic things of a CV, a pathway, a recommendation of what you're supposed to do, fitness and guidance, training every day that you should go to. This is the things that we like to provide aspiring footballers.
I know we've got your attention right now. Okay, so tell me, let's go back a little. Let's find out about your story. How did you start in Qatar? How did your journey begin?
Well, that's really good. So I was an aspiring footballer myself, and I grew up in the Bay Area, San Francisco. It's my hometown, my home base. And my parents were immigrant parents from Egypt. So dad was a little always conservative and strict, but the one thing he let me do was play football, right? So I played in the United States, and because in the U.S. there's competing sports as basketball and volleyball, baseball, and I was actually pretty good. And upon, I played in college, I got to play for UC Riverside, and out of school, I was even offered an opportunity to go professional.
Yeah.
I also graduated with a background in information systems. So I had a very nice offer on the table right out of school to continue working as a data analyst, and I had an opportunity to play professional. The opportunity to play professional in the United States was half the value that I had gotten out of straight out of school. And Dad said, no, 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 no. His experience is the football player makes 10 times the engineer in Egypt. This is the case. And he said, no, no, you just play on the side and you go to work. So I didn't have that information. And your youth, you think you're going to keep your youth forever and you can go back at any time. So I went on down an information systems pathway. Realized at the age of 25 that, you know, when the first on the first pickup game on the weekend, when that 21-year-old ran past me, I realized, like, whoa, I may have missed my opportunity. I can't always just go back and play professional. So this kind of motivated me to turn towards sports back again. So fortunately, I was working for a university, the University of New Mexico, at the time, in the and one of the benefits was to you can get a, you know, they can pay for your next degree. And my master's degree, instead of doing a master's in an MBA or a computer science degree, I went back and I did a master's in sports administration. And that, and my, I think in my first class, the dean was teaching that class. He said, as an intro to sports, you can work as an athletic director, you can work in stadiums, tickets, and he set the precedence, right? Or you can represent players. And I knew from that moment that I wanted to represent players and give them the opportunity not to miss that window that I had missed.
Yeah.
It goes on, right? So it wasn't until I got my degree in sports, I worked with the men's program there as a director of operations. It was a very prestigious D1 program. As a matter of fact, the first year that I worked officially as a director of operations, they went to the finals against Maryland for the NCAA championship. Coach Jeremy Fishbein, very, very respected, well-spoken coach in the men's soccer program, worked right under him. And at that point, I was in that environment, working with directly with players, started helping players to continue on and not go to their work and created CVs early on. I did the stuff manually. I hadn't learned yet the art of the agent work yet. And I believe after helping one player, where I was not able to represent him officially because you needed official licensing.
Okay.
But it wasn't until years later that I would actually get licensed as a FIFA agent.
So you've gone with your love of sport has taken you on a direction like every one of our guests that we get on, and it's wonderful hearing that same story. But that desire, I can see when, and you can tell when I'm interviewing people, I can see the lights in your eyes lighting up, okay? It's a real passion of yours. How did you come to Qatar?
Yes, so absolutely. Qatar, so to tell you what I did was, I came to the Middle East, right? I went and worked at King Abdullah University in Science and Technology. And that was in 2009, around 2009. And there was a famous American coach named Bob Bradley. He was considered the American Pharaoh. So this was my first time working as an American expat, leaving my community. And it was that point where I decided to get licensed as an agent and fly over to Egypt and connect with Bob. Right, and the game plan was there's two very famous players, Mohamed Salah and Al Nini. We all know Mohamed Salah now,
yeah, Liverpool of course, yeah.
Had just left Egypt to go to Basel, and they left with a German agent, right? And I felt like although I'm, you know, I can connect back with my Egyptian roots and American, Egyptian, and I could go help other players. So my goal was to really get to Bob Bradley, who was leading the Egyptian national team, and that's what I did. I that's when I gave up my IT career, went over to Egypt, and went on as a got FIFA agent license and gave up that pathway.
How risky was that?
It was, my wife looked at me and said, you know, you have a continued progression of, you know, it's very risky because you in IT, you continue, your salary keeps going up. You keep doing well. It's a growing field. And in sports, sometimes you have to leave all that and start from nothing as an intern. I always like to say it. You have to start from nothing, from ticket sales, from there, to climb your way up. But I always remembered my first class in sports in the intro when you know, to enter sports because everybody's so passionate about it, or you have to. But it was a risk that I wanted to fulfill my my dream of finally doing it. And if I kept, you know, trying to do it on the side, it might not.
Did you ever, you said about your wife keep saying, look, is this what you really want to do?
Yeah.
But did you ever have any doubts in those instances that you made the wrong decision?
Oh yeah. It was scary. What happened is, you know, there's a lot of pressure. You go from having a, you know, secure job and a salary to now completely you're fending for yourself, you're hustling for yourself, you've got to make moves, right, to earn an income, right? You've got to, and you know the procedure is you move a player that's worth a certain value to a certain club and you get a commission. So you know that this is what is taught, this is what's supposed to happen. But it's a lot easier said than done, let's put it that way. Yeah. I didn't have a network. The majority of agents out there were former players or coaches or somewhat. So when they leave or retire as a player, they basically have their phone number and they have their former coach, they have their former teammate that they call, and they see a new player and they call them and they say, I have such and such player that is good, why don't you take a look at him? And they try to get him in, and that's how they work. For me, I had 15 years as a system administrator and data analyst, so with a huge passion in football. So I went in there and I declared myself, I created a brand called Cora Stars, and I said, we will be the money ball of football. And who better than who stated that a little bit earlier than me and recognized this was Ernie Stewart. He's now the sporting director of U.S. Soccer. So I connected with Ernie as well, just told him my thoughts. He liked the thoughts. You all know Moneyball from the game, right? Because I looked at players, I said to myself, is that the only leverage I have is data. And so let me look at players and try to see what the club needs and try to get an acceptance, right? Because the first time I would take a player I thought it was good, I would get rejected. And so I dove deeper without giving my algorithm of what we do at Score Today. Basically, to make it simple, as I started to match, to look at a league, where are these players coming from that play in, say, Malta, the first division? And I started to notice that the majority of those players in the first division of Malta come from actually the Italian Serie C, the third division, Italy. So I said to myself, okay, if I go and I find a player, right, in Serie C that actually is now free, is a free agent, and I can take him to Malta Premier, let's see what the acceptance would be, right? And sure enough, the acceptance of them seeing them just on a trial basis increased, okay? And it got even better when I started analyzing the score chart, and you know, you got the first place team, for example, and they got 40 goals that they score for, and they have 40 goals, and they have 8 goals against. So they have 40 goals scoring for, and 8 goals against. And then you got the second place team, 38 and 12 against. Yeah. And the third place team has 40 goals, but they have 40 goals against them. what would that tell you, Steve?
So the defenders get, bring a defender.
You got it. So at just the basic level, it gets more, is that this third place team needs a defender. So if I went to the Maltese Premier League team that's in the third place with this defensive problem, and I went into Serie C and pulled out a center back and brought him in, my chances, this is what I did, my chances of acceptance were higher. And surely, slowly but surely, I started making some big moves. I moved, you know, the first Pakistan player ever to the United States, right? Their captain, because I took him to the right community of a Pakistan community in the United States where the team wanted fans. I moved a World Cup national player from Egypt to Los Angeles Football Club. That one was a little bit easier because I had worked with Bob Bradley and he loved the player as well. But after, for every one of these big moves that I did, what has what's happened is I would see hundreds of players would come and plead to me. They called me captain. Please give me some advice. Please tell me what to do. And I wanted, my heart bled for them, and so did my pocketbook, right? So I realized that I can't scale myself. This is kind of, you know, the story of Skora, the precursor. So Kora Stars, I knew that coming from an IT background, that this, I needed to create this kind of agent brain. Now, coming back to your question about Qatar, right, and coming here, I experienced two World Cups before the 2022. Before each World Cup and after each World Cup, there was a spike in my email and my phone blowing up from players asking for help. I mean, it's, you know, if I'm getting five calls a week, it was like five calls a day, okay? Right before and after, and email flooded. So I saw this happen in 2014, 2018 in Russia, and I said to myself, this is a historic moment that the first time in the MENA region, all right, in the Middle East and the Gulf region where there's a, and that's my focus, really. Yeah. My focus was to bridge the Middle East with the US market, MLS market, and the European market predominantly. And I said, with Qatar being a host of this, this time I want to be embedded, I want to have my idea off the ground and launched, and I want to be in the heart of
the great thing about this is that you made those decisions, and I know Hibba, so I know she had a great big job in the States, right? She was doing her thing. It's like that was a massive decision to make. But now you find yourself here in Qatar, and you are really making big headway.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to always say you want to have a strong woman stand behind you and a lovely supporter. And I really am appreciative of Hibba. If it wasn't for Hibba supporting me and backing me with this, we wouldn't be here. And I want to shoot that shout out to her.
And I'm going to get you to shout out as well because you've got a great team here, right? So you're kind of you're nobody if you haven't got a team.
Yes, absolutely. My team is I'm blessed to have a wonderful team, talented in each of their areas, and that's what actually keeps Skora and keeps us going is the team effort. We may not know everything, but we definitely stick together as a team. We're here every morning, dedicated to Skora, and they believe in the vision. You know, I know my team isn't here with the big salaries. They're showing up because they know. They believe in the equity that they have. They believe in the mission and where Skora is going to take them. So,
everybody says with a startup, it's the team and the founders. Those are the ones that make the difference.
Yes.
People underestimate, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'll tell you something. When investors come and they talk to us, what really attracts them finally is they see this dedicated team and this diverse team and that's the number one thing they look for, really. And that's why I believe we keep getting funded and we keep getting the attraction and that we have.
And I want people to understand this thing, right? You're listening to this, okay? You could be a footballer. You could be looking at this and saying, ooh, what's this? Look at the passion, look at the drive, look at the team that's behind it. And they're doing really well. So you really need to get onto that get onto this and see how it can benefit you. With you yourself, what is it that your unique selling points for all those footballers out there or people that want to get into it? What's those unique selling points? How do you help them? How do you guide them?
Wonderful. So we have an application that's going to be launching the first beta version finally, right? We've been working on this for over 2 years, right? And from one MVP to from a web platform to another, because it involves a lot of data analysis and machine learning and matching algorithms. It's going to be launching this month, okay? We're finally going to, at the end of this month. So we're super excited about that. But in our application that we launch out to our community, we provide them with an ability for them to create their very first football CV. Because they have people, they have a story. Each of them, it's a player story. Each player has a story of why he wants to play. He or she, clarify that, want to play professional.
Yeah.
And so we help them with our unique CV model, create that. And then with their profile, we analyze where they're coming, you know, what passports they carry, what positions they carry, what academy, what type of system. And we show them the top three countries, if it wasn't in their same country of staying, where they, as destinations, where they could play, easy entry to barrier for going professional. So there's a career pathway advice that we provide them. We additionally provide them with a community of players, of meetups, so how they can continue to play. We also additionally provide them with ways they can crowdfund their venture and their mission to play professional, because you need support.
Yeah.
You need support. We provide the whole agency experience, and then at the end, if they do need to connect with somebody who's local, who works in that industry, for example, if Turkey is a pathway recommended to move for them, then we have trusted local agents who believe in the same ethics that we can finally connect them for the last mile.
That's wonderful. Not just from the footballer's perspective. It's great because you're doing the first initial due diligence, right?
Yes.
So your analytics, your kind of things that you're helping with, you're helping with, then all of a sudden you're then kind of being able to spread the word, but you'll be able to look at those CVs and do the due diligence for those coaches or football clubs.
Yes. The last piece is, so yes, we focus on the player. Like at the end, I keep trying to focus on the player, but because I know what happens is if the due diligence is done, the clubs, the scouts will come to our platform because, you know, okay, you're not wasting our time, right? With the player. And at the same time, the player isn't wasted his time. And go, sometimes a player, he plays five-a-side every day on his street. And free play is great. Some of the best players in the world started from street play. But the reality of it is, he doesn't know that three streets down what the level is like there. But all his friends on his street tell him, you should go pro. You're the best. So Scora also shows them, do you know how many, the average amount of kilometers a player runs in a full 90-minute match? And the players don't have that information, right? So many times I had seen a player that's got really amazing small foot skills go to a trial and become winded, right? So we tell them, you need to run 14 kilometers in a match, an average, you know, midfielder runs. Oh. So we give them also goal setting, so mental, physical, tactical goals that they can keep coming into the app to kind of push them to certain scoring markers, hence the word Scora.
I love what you're doing. And also at the very beginning, when you're dealing with somebody with their CV,
yes,
you're at the very beginning.
Yes.
Right? You're guiding them, but you're building an emotional relationship.
Absolutely.
And the trust.
Yes.
And the togetherness. You're going to smash that.
Thank you. We have a beautiful Scora community. It's not stopping and growing at unprecedented rates. You know, we players, the best feeling is when you help a player come in and he's like, I don't know what to do. And you give him guidance, and he's playing at a third division club somewhere, and he's happy. He loves you. You get, you know, amazing emails, texts. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your help. It's a great feeling. That's the best part of this job.
Let's go on to the business side of it. And the one thing is, how did you get from how did you get through those 2 years? And the 2 years of COVID, how did you come through that and come out the other side to be launching your product?
Yeah, that's fortunately, we had gotten just into the, we had just gotten our license in the free zone, in the QSTP free zone. And everybody, they allowed us, this was open, the incubator, right? So I'm totally grateful for the incubator. And I had started with a small angel investor who had given us, he had said, Adele, I believe in what you're doing. Here's 50K, make this happen. So I went and recruited interns from Carnegie Mellon. Right, and they wanted a place. Everything was closed, so this was our hangout. And we had, thankfully, we had Talabat delivering food for us. So basically, I said, "Everybody, food's on me every day. Let's hang out here. We're gonna build something that's amazing." First of all, they all believed in Skora as well, and so we built a pretty nice MVP, demonstrating all that I had spoke about with creating a CV, helping the showing a pathway, taking analytics, just very quick. And we presented this to Qatar Foundation upon opening of COVID. So in this time period, this COVID time period, we buckled down and developed everything that the algorithms. We put in a very nice MVP so that right out of COVID, we were able to demonstrate the product. And Qatar Foundation, QSTP, the tech venture fund, loved it, and bought into that this can be carried forward.
Qatar Science and Technology Park.
Yes.
The innovation hub. What a fantastic, fantastic, and people, I want more people to hear about them, because they're a massive sleeping giant. And look at what they, as you said there, and I do, and you give me such great feelings, because they are special.
Yes, yes. I mean, honestly, you know, cash is king, right? So coming in, the Tech Venture Fund funding us really made us be able to step it up to the next level, right? To be able to hire the best of that Qatar Foundation. Our talent comes from, by the way, Qatar Foundation, Northwestern, CMU, HBKU. You know, it's an amazing recruiting ground.
It's not my interview, it's yours, but I'm going to back you up on that, because the Qatar Foundation, I remember when 6 years ago, my life was changed. It was changed.
Yes.
Because somebody invited me to a startup. They said, be a mentor. And at the time, I was struggling. I was going through difficult times here. And I was going, no, this guy asked me 15 times. He asked me 15 times. And I'm saying, no, I'm not worthy. And then he said, it's a free lunch. I said, I'm in. Let's go. I met my business partner now that I'm still with. He's an absolute genius. I met him at that event. My whole life changed from that moment on, because we've all got something to give. And that's what I want. This is why we get this podcast, right? It's because we want to find people that are making a difference. You're making a huge difference. You and your team are making a huge difference. And it's those differences that people don't realize how big a power they've got. Even one individual, one little thing, they can make a huge, massive difference. You're doing the same. And Qatar Foundation is doing it on a much massive
yes,
scale.
Yes.
What they're doing is just, we brought over 50 students. They were just blown away with Qatar Foundation. They thought the Qatar Foundation was amazing, and they are, and they deserve all the plaudits coming. But you're a true example of what they're creating here.
No, absolutely. And they provided, and I went, you know, went, how do I want to say this? They have the entire ecosystem right here. Even on the professors, we went to leverage the professors with some of the research on the machine learning and AI, and applied to the HBKU Innovation Fund Award, and were awarded that. So now we have the professors, we have the students, we have what Her Excellency says, true multiversity, right? I know they're going through this direction of multiversity. I have multiple universities working together. You know, they're meeting, you know, some of my talent are, as they're even helping us with this podcast and recording from multimedia.
Yeah.
Some of the talent is in computer science. Some of the others are in data analysis, coming together. And even with professors from the, I have professors from both the sports science and health giving us markers, and professors from computer vision helping us with algorithms on unofficial grants working on Scora. So, you know, I encourage anybody to really look at this ecosystem, and they're not, it's not being leveraged enough.
And we're not here, but one thing I want to say to you is, it's one thing, right? We did it, the last guest we had was Mohammed.
Yes.
What a great story. What a great, unbelievable story. And from that one, because most of our people that was listening was from Ghana.
Okay, yes.
And they were all listening. Do you know how many people I got contacted me saying, I'm a footballer. I don't know how to get into it. I want you to be one of our sponsors to go on there. So that I want them to know that they can sign up for your thing. So that's what we're going to do in the future.
Oh.
Because there's people listening all over the world, and we want you on there because we want to point them in the right direction.
Yes, we'd be absolutely honored because to help. That's why we're at Scora's out there to help those footballers answer all their questions. We've done, and now our team here has created another thing, which we attribute to, right? This is the creation of a startup environment. Created this showcase opportunity here in Qatar, which, you know, didn't exist. You know, they tried to do it. Let me take a step back. They said they tried to do it back 8 years ago and it failed and never. We are on our fifth showcase. Let me explain to you what showcase is. Showcase is an opportunity where players come and they play in front of coaches and scouts here, the top coaches here and scouts, and get selected to professional teams within Qatar. We started this with Lusail, our partnering club, and we said Lusail is a second division club in the amateur status, trying to prove themselves so they can get in with, and if they run things right for the next 2 to 3 years, they will have an entry point into the second division, and then, you know, you can go up to the first division to do that. So one of the things is, they thought they had scoured the whole landscape of Qatar for players, right? And Spire said the same thing. We said, well, hold on a second. Let's go ahead and create a showcase opportunity, right? And allow players to sign up. We'll handle, they'll get a CV. They'll come, they'll have 3 days to come into the locker rooms, get dressed, and at the end and have get trained together, get to know each other, and then play against the Lusail team. Well, I'll fast forward from that. From showcase 1 to 5, Lusail has made a fourth division team, a third division team, QAL team. From our showcase players, 19 players were accepted over those 5 showcases. And one of those players was holding up the championship of the QAL at the end of this year. And now, right, so this is real data. And these players were coming with Talabat drivers. They were, yes, Talabat drivers working all day, coming, taking their suit off, and just fielding themselves. They'd come in here from Ghana, from Gambia, from Senegal, right, for a dream to play. Carrying their other jobs, construction jobs, security jobs, and the showcase, you know, the numerous amount of thank yous for helping us score. Thank you for helping us. You know, it's a small dream, but now they're playing at some level. Whoa. Informed. And showcase now as an event is being looked at a greater event where we will fly international athletes, we're hoping even after the World Cup, to continue a legacy here in
That's
Qatar.
Huge. That yeah. is huge. Absolutely yeah. huge, and I didn't know that part of what you were doing.
Yeah, so I always like to mention that's another thing when you wow. see the live players on the field wow. benefiting from the application and a not real opportunity.
That's just incredible. Where's your journey going? Where's your ambition in the next year?
So we hope that you know, we will leave a legacy here in Qatar, of course, that with Showcase and Scorus technology continuing to bring in the top world's athletes here to strengthen the league. This is absolutely, by Showcase 10, we imagine that agents will be flying some of their best players, people will be flying, the best players that didn't have the opportunities will come here, stay in the hotels and continue forward to get measured and think as Qatar as a launching pad. Beyond that, we will give them the intel where they can go on and move to from their stay in Qatar. So this is one thing that Scora is really focusing on. Our application, we hope, will become a global oracle for all players to that want to have a chance. Let's go in, look at our score, let's get prepped by Scora to figure out how we can go professional.
Nick Humphrey, I'm going to give him your number, okay? Because you're doing amazing things with Train Effective. I'm sure that you can team up here. So I'm giving a shout out for you, Nick. And congratulations on raising the finance. You are a difference maker. You really are. You and your team. I'm a little bit older. Every time I still think I'm 18 years old until I walk past the mirror. Okay, and then I realize. And when you try and kick a ball from now on. But you give me the excitement that I want to take up football. And I'm looking at all those people out there that now they've got a solution, a potential solution, to go that little bit further.
Yes.
Congratulations. You're going to be huge.
Thank you, Steve. You should download our app, Score app. It's going to be released. And let's see what it gives you as a recommendation.
There's going to be no recommendations to me, let me tell you. But it's wonderful. It's hard work, though. Let's talk about startups. It's hard work. What do you have to go through? How much pain have you gone through? How much kind of, dear me.
Yeah. See, we we don't want to scare anybody with that, but there is ups and downs in any startups, right? It's you just got to continue to persevere and work hard and believe that if you're providing value to whatever your customer is, if you're providing real value, the customer will come, the investor will come, they will see it and it'll happen. But the key is have a team that believes with you, right? Believes in the entire value and the mission that you're, whatever you're delivering as a startup, and know that you will have good days and you'll have bad days, but it's just about getting up that next day and continuing forward is what makes the difference in the startup. We're, you know, there's days that I don't know. There's days that I think, are we going to make it, right? And then there's days that all of a sudden somebody comes and gives you that energy that says, wow, we need this product you do, we need this service you do. And then you see, wow, okay, now I'm alive for another 6 months. So I think the key is to just be genuine and to you know, have your team realize that you're on one direction, you're on a boat. I think the first lecture that I tell any of my teammates and that join is, we're on a boat, right? And in a startup, you're gonna all carry different hats, as they say. But on this boat, I always just say, you may be holding the rudder, or we may have to paddle, or we may have to pull the sails up, right? Or you may have to bring the food and give it to your crew members. It's all job, but the key is, let's get that boat from one side to the other, yeah. and you may be carrying. But we will figure out what you're good at, and you will definitely do it, but this is the team effort. And I give this simple example, because many times when they're just graduating, say this is the first time they've ever been involved in a startup or a job, and I think that's actually one of the attractive things that our interns saw here, is that they went to some that have interned, and I won't say some of the bigger companies, and they were just put in a cubicle, not naming it, right? And not left to do anything at all. But then they come tell me, Adele, you have faith in us that we can accomplish big things right out of school, and that's abnormal. And I said, yeah, I mean, age is just a number, right? And you gain experience is good, but we want that creativity, that energy, because we are looking for those future footballers in the future or athletes in the future. And I believe those first, you know, those who are just graduating have that way to connect us to that future customer.
All I want to say now, score, score, score. You heard when the beta version is going to be coming out. Make sure you register. Get involved. I'm going to be putting all of their information up on this podcast, so that you'll have some connection, so that you can get in contact with them. I'm real privileged to be with you today, really, truthfully, because I look at what you're doing and it's just incredible, and I wish you every success in the future.
Thank you, Steve. You're too humble and you're too nice. I appreciate
you. You've got some big things, and I know the staff that you've got, and it's not just talking the talk. You walk the talk, which is just, it's just hats off. My hat is off to you. And I want you to really give this, when this comes out, please get involved. All those footballers that have been coming to me and saying, can you help me? I'm just a podcaster. I'm just a message provider with people like Adele. So these are the guys that you've got to get in contact with, honestly, and they've got something special. Look at what the future's got to hold in Qatar. It is bigger than you think. And this is a true example of what's happening here. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And go and do your research on Qatar Foundation, QSTP, because they've got some wonderful things that they're running here. And this is an example of how it helped them to go into the future. So, everybody, thanks for listening. Until next week, bye for now.